Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Hey friends, Dano E. Cabeza here from Ask for Football. We've got a special bonus episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show for you this week. And really, this is not an Army football show, this is an Army basketball show. Rob Robinson and James from Brigade Review interviewed new Army men's head basketball coach Kevin Kuick last week to get his thoughts on the overall state of the program and on his first season, which starts Monday, November 6th, with a home game at Crystal Arena against local rival Marist. Friends, this is a terrific interview. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. And, as always, this show is brought to you by Buyer Barn, the world's first online auction for farm animals. Buyer Barn has a link on our website. If you are at all interested in how they've modernized the legacy family farm industry, we highly encourage you to check that out. They have done a magnificent job taking family farming out of the 18th century and into the 21st century. With that, let's get into the interview. And please, after you listen to it, let us know what you think at Ask for Football on Twitter or in the comments on the website below. Thank you.
All right. Super excited to bring you guys a fun interview today. We have Army men's basketball coach, Coach Kuick here with us today. Quick intro, March 29th of this year, Army Athletic Director Mike Buddy announced hiring of the new men's basketball coach, Kevin Kuick. Coach Kuick comes to Army after his second stint at Butler. He's a Notre Dame ROTC graduate, spent 10 years in the United States Army. We'll get into a little bit more of your path. So why don't we start out with that, Coach? Can you briefly take us through, you know, how does a Notre Dame ROTC grad in the Army become an assistant coach? And then what was your path to becoming Army's head coach?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stickers on my suitcase, James. You know, when I my first D1 job was at Ohio U, one of the assistants kind of took me under his wing. I was like 25, 26 years old. And his advice was, don't skip steps, Kevin. Well, not only have I not skipped steps, I banged my head on the same ones probably four or five times. But, you know, was ROTC at Notre Dame, mechanical engineer, president of my class, was a manager for the basketball team. My dream, my uncle was a high school football coach in Buffalo, won a couple state championships, a guy I really looked up to, you know, just had a real passion for, you know, competing for basketball, you know, whatnot. Commissioned as an engineer officer, went out to Fort Lewis. I did 2 years as a platoon leader there. And there was kind of a unique thing back then where there was an opportunity to transfer the National Guard. After being a platoon leader, I just didn't know what was going to live up to that, to be honest. And I had a dream to get into coaching. So I'm like, hey, go into the Guard for a couple of years and maybe I can get a 2-year head start on coaching. Start out at a little Division II school in Memphis, Tennessee, Christian Brothers University. And then little by little, worked my way up to Ohio University, to Butler, to Ohio State University at Dayton, Davidson College, and then back to Butler. So, living the dream a little bit. It's a hard road. It's a tough profession to get into. It's a tough profession to survive and advance in. But, you know, luckily I've worked for some great coaches. I like to think I've been a part of helping a lot of programs be successful. And, you know, as you get into it and you're like, God, I've been an assistant. I've worked for some great guys and learned a ton. Like to have a chance to kind of do my own deal and put my own spin on things. And there's 350 Division I jobs. There's a ton of guys who would love to have those jobs. It's super competitive and it's a lot of timing. And, you know, of all of them, you know, this was a great fit for me, you know, obviously with my Army background. And, you know, I had worked camp here for Coach Harris about 20 years ago. So, you know, had a little familiarity there and, you know, it just kind of things kind of align. And here I am.
Yeah. So this, as you mentioned, your first head coaching job, Division I level, how do you you know, it's not unheard of, right? A lot of coaches will be assistants, become D1 head coaches. A lot more will take D2, D3 jobs and work their way up. How do you attack being a first-time head coach at this level of play?
I mean, every day you come in and you figure out how you can do it to the highest level that you can. You know, hopefully I've been taking good notes from the places I've been at and the way we do things. I think at the core, you know, to me, what makes me a little bit different is, yeah, I'm a first time head coach, but I'm not a first time leader. You're a platoon leader at age 22. If you can succeed at that, if you can get that platoon sergeant that's old enough to be your dad, if you can get him to buy in and believe in you and be your teammate and your partner and be hip to hip with him and your squad leaders, and then be able to connect with those older specialists, those younger privates and everything in between, and be there for the, not only the mission essential stuff, but the life stuff that comes on. As I talk to recruits, I'm like, there is nowhere else in the world or very, very few places where you can get that type of leadership and management experience at age 22 as being a platoon leader in the Army. So, you know, I think that, you know, that put me off to a different, you know, put me off on a different path right there. And at the core, I'm, you know, Coach K always says, I'm not a coach, I'm a leader. And I firmly believe in that. So, you know, day to day with my assistants, with my players, with our overall program, I'm leading that program. And, you know, yes, there's a on the court coaching piece. Obviously, that's important. There's a recruiting piece. You know, that's important. But there's an inspiring piece with our guys. You know, can we get these guys to do things that they maybe didn't even know they could do? You know, to me, that's the number one thing that I'm here to do. And, you know, we're working through each phase of the operation, so to speak, as far as recruiting and practice and games that are coming up and all those different things. But, you know, hopefully that leadership is at the forefront in every one of those aspects.
Sweet. And referencing your Army experience, so two questions. Number one, what is that like? You know, when you're head coach and you're recruiting a player at a non-service academy, you have to convince that recruit and their parents, you know, to come and play basketball for you. When you're a head coach at a service academy, you need to not only convince them to come play for you, but also to, you know, give up their summers in college, give up the sort of traditional college experience, give 5 years of their life, at least to the Army. It doesn't sound like an easy job. Do you think your experience helps with that, hurts with that? You know, how does that change those conversations?
Well, I absolutely do. And you are correct, James. It is a unique recruiting situation. It's not for everybody. I'm just sitting here in my office and, you know, I got sitting on this little bookshelf across from me, the combat boots I wore in Iraq 20 years ago, you know? And so when I sit a young man, his parents down on the couch, I pull those things out. You know, I'm not asking them to do something I didn't do myself. This place obviously isn't for everybody, you know, but when you find the right kids and find the right families, that's who you want to be coaching. That's the best of the best. They're in it for something bigger than themselves. College athletics nowadays with the transfer portal, with NIL, I hate to say it, you got a lot of selfish dudes out there, man. And you can say, hey, some people are more talented than others, better this, that, whatever. But I'll put our 25 guys up against anybody as far as being in it for their brother, being about the right things. And I'm enjoying the hell out of coaching them. I'm enjoying the hell out of being here. And we got to figure it out on the court from a skill standpoint, from an X and O standpoint. I think we will. But everything else is phenomenal. And, you know, it's a really – it's a blessing to be here.
That's awesome. And second part of that, you know, we've seen you on the socials out at summer training this past summer. Number one, I bet you're enjoying the hell out of getting to watch that instead of having to participate. but do the players get a little bit less sympathy from their head coach than they might expect?
Well, yeah, suck it up, Buttercup. That's what I usually say to them. So, no, it was cool. You know, for the plebes, I went out to CFT and CDLT with the firsties, and then, you know, saw the cows and the yucks do their thing in June, and that was awesome. And then obviously getting into Beast and, you know, seeing the guys do IMTs the one day, and I saw Dylan Blair doing the rock climbing, and I mean, it's awesome. It really is. It's a, you know, we actually took we have a recruit that his dad was a, you know, an Army sniper after 9/11, and we actually took him out to the field artillery range. Tanner Plum was actually leading the battery that was doing the training. It was phenomenal. You know, AJ Allenspach with his company was out there. He was the first sergeant. It was the best. You know, we just got to make sure we sell that. That's a positive. That's an exciting. You guys know, and I know there's a lot of parts of this place that aren't a lot of fun, that aren't sexy, that aren't glamorous. That's for sure. But there's a lot of really cool stuff too. And you know, again, it's not for everybody, but for the guys and the families that appreciate what this place is in the short term, and especially appreciate what this place is in the long term, I think it's a home run.
Awesome. Let's go back to your process to getting the job that you have now. At some point, you receive a phone call or some sort of contact that they're interested in you to become, you know, Army's next head coach. Take us from that contact to, you know, getting announced as Army's head coach.
Yeah, it was probably, I don't know, probably about two and a half weeks. You know, the way this works nowadays, James, I mean, everyone uses search firms. So search firm, you know, that Mike Buddy was using reached out and, you know, are you interested? And of course I was, and, you know, kind of, you know, preliminary kind of background of where things were and, you know, what maybe they were looking for and things like that. And, you know, I think probably 3 or 4 days later, I was on a Zoom with a committee with Mike Buddy and some of the associate athletic directors and stuff. And, you know, you do that and, you know, then there's some follow up on that. And then maybe a week later, you know, there's another round of that with maybe a couple different people and maybe some more in-depth questions. And then a couple days later, my wife and I and our girls were, you know, flying out here and, you know, taking a picture at Trophy Point and, you know, meeting a bunch of people on campus and the different, you know, aspects of Army athletics and everything like that. And then they're doing that with maybe a couple other guys and things are sifted through. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm you know, that Wednesday morning, you know, Mike was giving me a call and, you know, I was at the Final Four the next day with some of our, you know, donors and former players and, you know, meeting our players, doing a Zoom with our players. And, you know, here we are.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that search firm might have been looking for. So, you know, you've been on the staff. You talked about being on the staff of Thad Matta, who took Xavier to the Elite Eight. Bob McKillop, who's a graduate of my high school. We're very proud of him. Took Davidson and Steph Curry to the Elite Eight. We have Archie Miller. You're on his staff for a while. Took Dayton to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Similar to Bob McKillop's high school, another Marianist institution of learning.
You're honest. Hey, don't forget about Brad Stevens, James.
and then Brad. Oh, I'm getting there. Brad Stevens takes Butler to two consecutive national championship games. So you've been on the staff of a lot of you know, mid-major success stories in March Madness. You yourself have been on 8 mid-major campaigns that have ended in NCAA tournament bids. So you have to have been around, you know, what makes those teams successful. What is it that has made those teams successful, those campaigns successful, that has been missing so far at Army?
Oh, well, I mean, I wasn't here, so I don't think it's fair to, you know, to editorialize about why they have, you know, haven't done whatever. But all I can say is this: every coach does it a little different. The style's a little different. The type of players, the recruiting pitch, offense, defense. But to me, the common denominator is a championship process every single day. You know, the way you approach, you wake up in the morning, go to first formation, you know, the way you approach that first class, the way you handle your stuff in the summer, the way you handle your weights, your practice, your off season stuff, as a staff, as a head coach, as players, we want it to be a championship process. Our three tenets are kind of tough together and detailed, and we want to be championship level in those three aspects. Championship level toughness, championship level togetherness, championship level detail, you know, and we're not all the way there yet and all those things. But I really believe, and it's harder at this place. There's a lot of distractions and you get pulled in a lot of different ways and your energy gets sapped in a lot of different areas. You're wearing a lot of different hats, but you know, I really believe with our guys and with where college basketball is right now, if they dedicate themselves to those three things, and then every day, whether it was great down the hill, whether it was tough down the hill, whether they slept 4 hours, whether they slept 2 hours, whether they slept 7 hours, whatever that was, if they roll up to Crystal and they bring it every single day, I think we got a chance to do something pretty special.
It's good to hear. So this next question, I was sort of struggling on a way to figure out how to ask it. But if you take, you know, a random rivalry in college sports, right? And I came up with Nevada and UNLV because I know nothing about those schools, right? If at the end of the year, UNLV wins the Mountain West Championship and they lost to Nevada, they don't really care. Right. It doesn't matter. It's probably nice to beat your rival, but it's not season defining. And it's certainly not a part of the head coach's job performance. Service academies are a little special that way. Performance against your sister service academies matter. I'm sure you knew that to some extent before you got the job and maybe to even a further extent now. How do you attack that part of the job, and how do you prepare yourself to coach in those situations? How do you prepare your players to execute in those games?
Well, I mean, again, championship level process every day, James. Obviously that might be on steroids for that sort of game, but again, every day, whether we're practicing and we're playing, whoever we're practicing for or playing for, I mean, we want to be the best. I think, you know, we had our last preseason workout last week. Or 2 weeks ago now at this point. And, you know, there was a beat Navy lesson to it because it was a defensive workout. It was high energy. It was high excitement. And I'm like, guys, this is awesome. I want you guys flying around. I want you chirping. I want you celebrating. I want you fighting. But just like with a Navy game, you can't let that emotion, that excitement affect your execution and your discipline and your detail. So to me, that's the ultimate challenge in a game like that, to be as motivated and fired up and play as hard as you've ever played, compete as hard as you've ever competed, but still be locked in on those details and not just lose your mind, hair on fire. So we don't have any here anyway. So I guess that's not the right analogy, but you get what I'm saying. So I'm excited about those things, but I mean, at the end of the day, we got to have the same approach every single game. We got to be trying to be great, be in the winner's circle every game. And then to me, that extra edge, that extra energy, that extra excitement, it's more a matter of having a little extra, you know, mental toughness to be able to channel that and stay focused on the game plan and executing that's going to allow you to win the way that we want to win.
Sure. Another huge part of the Army basketball program, you know, one of, it's four programs or maybe three now with St. Francis dropping their, athletics program, one of three programs that hasn't participated in March Madness. Army fans, we all know the history, turned down an invitation during World War II, turned down another invitation later on under Coach Bobby Knight. He took the team to the NIT where he lost to your alma mater with an Irish referee. We're not bitter about it at all. Don't worry. It led a lot of people to think that this head coaching job was, including some pretty prominent columnists, this head coaching job was sort of a no-win situation for whoever took it. Why do you think those people are wrong?
Well, the number one thing, James, I'm around these guys every day. All right. The leadership raw material I have in my locker room, I'll put that up against anybody. So there's some amazing stuff to work with right there. And obviously there's some challenges, you know, from a time standpoint, we don't necessarily have the same time in the summer or in a given day. So we got to be super efficient. We got to do more with less and be able to do that. That's my job. That's my challenge. I know that. I've heard so many people say we hit the wall every January, you know, like we're burning the candle at both ends. We're juggling 9,000 balls. And at some point that catches up to us and everything crashes. It's my job. It's my job to keep them as fresh as I can from now until March and still be ready to win each game, you know? So that's a challenge, you know, and that's been that way and that's not changing. But again, it comes back to, I believe in what the young men that I have in our locker room are made of. I think our challenge is to be the best player led team in the country. I think that's very attainable. If we really hone in on that, we stay focused in on that. I think that's very possible. And just looking at what Butler did in the Horizon League, I'm not saying we're going to national championships or anything, but doing it at a championship level, I think with where college athletics is, with guys transferring and jumping around and chasing money and maybe being a little more in it for themselves than for their teams and for their teammates, I think if we do it right with toughness and figure it out offensively and skill-wise and, you know, find that right mix basketball-wise, I think we got a chance to do something pretty special here.
Now, Coach, you are far from the only freshman head coach in the Patriot League this year. Half of the Patriot League teams now have new head coaches. A lot of head coaches, both former and current and new, have previous Patriot League experience, previous Ivy League experience, if not as a head coach, as an assistant coach. And a lot of that is because they want to make sure that you can coach a team that has to perform at a relatively high academic school, academic caliber. Now, Davidson's no walk in the park, right? Certainly, a high academic school. But how do you see yourself tackling that aspect of?
Yeah, great question, James. I think at Davidson, just working with the admissions office, and every job, you're gonna deal with that about finding what's the right fit for this place, fitting the different admissions in this place, leadership and all the other parameters that you're considering. But I would say Davidson, I think I'm very comfortable as far as Coach McKillop, among many, many things that made him a Hall of Fame coach, besides, being at your high school, of course, he was so picky about who he let in his locker room. And to me, this place naturally selects that and weeds that out. So, I feel real comfortable that, the type of programs that we're drawing from, the type of families, I think I'll be real comfortable with that. I don't care. Whenever you move from one league to another league, there's always a learning curve. But I look at it as I'm able to bring Big East, Atlantic 10, I'm able to bring different things to the fight here. I have Nick Dorson and Jaron Dyson that both have extensive Patriot League experience on my staff. So I'm not worried about that. It's at the end of the day, it's still basketball, trying to get figured out for our team, figure out the other team, and, getting your guys to kind of put the best foot forward every time they go out there.
Speaking of basketball, what should we expect? Is this going to be Magic's Lakers on offense, or is this Russell Celtics? What does the offense look like?
Well, you guys know this place, James and Rob. I don't think it's right for these guys to trudge up the hill and say, "Hey, we're going to play football out there and try to win 48-46 every day." That's kind of deflating, to be honest with you. If these guys are going to grind down the hill and give us what they're giving us, I got to give them a chance to play. I tell them, I want you to play fast. I want you to play fun. I want you to play free. I don't want them looking over their shoulder. I want them to have the freedom to push the ball, not to look for me for a play call every single time. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. As you get into conference play, as you get down the stretch the last 10 minutes, it's going to naturally slow down. That's the way basketball works. But you can always dial it down. If you don't have it to start with, you can't turn it up. So, I want to have, especially here in the non-conference and early in games and early in the season, I want to let them attack and be aggressive. Now, does that end up translating to 78 possessions a game or 68? I don't know. But we're going to try to score fast. And if it's not there, then we're going to make them guard. We're going to make them grind. That's kind of Coach McKillop's, watch. So I do think you'll see us pushing the ball up the court fast. And then it's just a matter of how good they are defensively, if we can get a good quick shot or if we got to work a little bit more.
So you mentioned the non-conference schedule, somewhat peculiar non-conference schedule for Army. A lot of teams you wouldn't normally see, and a lot of interstate rivalries, which is a little bit more on the normal side. So what jumps out to you on that non-con schedule, and specifically, what do you think it's going to be like being a first-year head coach going into Assembly Hall and playing in Indiana?
Well, I've won in Assembly Hall before, so hopefully we can do that again. But no, that'll be a great challenge. I think when you're doing your scheduling deal, there's a lot of factors. Number one, I want to give the guys the chance to play on that type of stage. Obviously with Charlie and Matt and Blake being Indiana guys, I think that's a really neat thing with the connection with Coach Knight. I think that's a really neat thing. So, that was kind of an easy one. Looking at your firsties, the guys that have kind of grinded for you, and seeing if there's just something that makes sense as far as that goes, I think that's pretty cool. I think the second thing, that I took into consideration was, as I sat at the Final Four with some of our former players, and my wife was there with me, and they were talking about Army-Navy football, and obviously a great rivalry. And I distinctly remember kind of overhearing them say, "I never went to it for 4 years because we always had a basketball game on that day." And I just thought with you know, in this day and age, I mean, to me, that's one of the coolest experiences, you know, part of this tradition of going to a place like this. And I'm like, why? I want my guys to be a part of that. I want them. So my goal every year on Friday, wherever the game is played, is to find a game, you know, and get us there in town and be able to link up for the football game on Saturday, a chance for our parents and former players to come see us play on Friday and then, you know, be at the football game on Saturday. To me, that's an important, you know, that's an important thing, you know, that I want to be able to do. So with this year, you know, Harvard obviously, you know, made a ton of sense as far as that goes. I think that's a school that fits us. I think that'll, you know, hopefully be a fun game. And then the last thing, you know, big picture wise was, you know, when T's end on December 17th, 18th, whatever the heck it is, I don't want the guys sitting around here in West Point, New York, staring at the barracks and thinking about all their friends that are home with their families. So I want to try to get out of town and get somewhere cool. So, you know, San Antonio obviously has a great military tradition with Fort Sam and, you know, some of those Air Force bases. So, you know, Coach Cunningham had coached at Incarnate Word down there. So we had a connection there and they're good. They're willing to come back to us next year. So I thought that'd be a great chance to get our team out for a couple days and, you know, get down to somewhere cool. So that was the last piece. And then other than that, guys, honestly, I don't want to be in buses for 6 and 7 hours if I can help it. We got to, you know, this is enough of a grind as it is. We lost a lot. Everybody wants to play us. I'm not going to lie to you. So I had the pick of the litter. So why not play the schools that are fairly close and, you know, have short trips and, you know, and kind of see how that goes. And we'll adjust next year based on how this year goes. But, you know, to me, it makes sense. We got a bunch of home games that, you know, hopefully will work out for us and we'll go from there.
Speaking of the losses, you know, had a few transfer portal losses, but you have a solid team coming back. You haven't quite had a full year of recruiting yet, so not necessarily your guys coming in. What excites you? What should we be looking out for on this team?
Well, James, I think you were very exceptionally optimistic right there. I really appreciate it. On paper, Charlie's like, I don't know, 7.5, 8 points a game. I don't think we have anybody else over 3 points a game. So if someone in the Patriot League doesn't vote us for last, I think they should have their head checked. That's fine. You know, we're good with that. We're going to embrace that. It's not a thing out of disrespect. We have a bunch of guys that haven't had a chance to show what they can do. I've been really excited to see some of our older guys who haven't played a ton. I think they're working their butts off. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve because they just haven't had a ton of game experience under the lights. They'll get there. They're working their butts off. I think we got some good talent. I think we got some good physicality to work with. And then it's on us as coaches to put our guys in, you know, the best spots to be successful. We're going to have some young point guards. I think that, you know, their learning curve is going to be kind of key to us, you know, being successful. And we got to be patient with them. They're good players. They're great kids. They're exactly what we want here. And, you know, but that's a hard position and they're going to have their ups and downs and we just got to have their backs as they go through it. And I don't care where you are. The goal at the end of the day is to be playing your best come the end of February and into March. And it's going to be a long journey. I told the guys when we win, we can't get fat and happy. I'm not going to let them get fat and happy. And when we don't win, we can't lose our minds. We just got to figure out what went wrong, what we got to do better, and get on to the next game. So to me, that's how, you know, we need to approach this season.
Hey, Rob, I'll pass it over to you. You have any questions?
Yeah, Coach, I just have one question, and this has been like the bane of Army basketball for like the last 30 years, so I don't expect you to have an answer to solve it right off the bat, but Colgate, like year after year, they seem to be one of the most dominant teams in the Patriot League. You know, how do you approach that game? And I understand, like, that's not the same level of rivalry as the Navy game, but like habitually year in and year out, Army always has really tough contests against Colgate.
Well, hey, I mean, Rob, that's the million-dollar question right there. We'll see if this rookie head coach – and Matt Langle's an awesome coach. I mean, he's got that program humming at a really high level. You know, but, you know, twofold here. Number one, you know, we just got to take it one day at a time. And then, obviously, when we get to that game, yeah, we – you know, one thing our staff did this summer, we studied each of the Patriot League teams. Obviously, there's a lot of coaching turnover, so there's going to be some differences, you know, and – I mean, who you are in January is ultimately that's who we're going to be playing. But, you know, I think, you know, we have the utmost respect for them. I think when we play a game like that, we know to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. So, you know, our preparation, our focus, it's got to be at a championship level for those games. I mean, it's no secret that they're the top dogs. And, you know, I don't think there's a magic formula as far as if you guard Colgate this way, you'll beat them. I just think what I told you about championship level toughness, championship level togetherness on offense and defense, championship level detail for Colgate, that's going to have to be at the highest level. And that's going to be our focus as we lead up, as we go through November, December, when it's time to play them in January. You focus obviously on the next game. You know, that's who we have to be. We got to go 1-0 against Marist on November 6th, but you know, this team, we got to just brick by brick, build it up. When we get to that game, I think, you know, we want to do something that's never been done here. We've never even been in the Patriot League championship game. So, you know, hey, Colgate kind of embodies that challenge. And I just think our focus and everything for playing them has to be at the highest level.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Coach. We really appreciate it. And thank
you.
You
guys do a hell of a job with the preparation, man. I'm impressed. That was rapid. That was like a, I don't know if it was a SAR or 240 or what, Mark 19 coming at me, but it was pretty good, man.
We'll let you get back to your team and your meetings, and thanks for your time.
Hey, really appreciate you anytime, and go Army.
Be Navy.
Beat them. Cool.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, B-Y-R-E. FireBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.